afternoon.
I suppose.
Okay. So, we're going to look at VV functions, so I'm going to open that. And for you who are in my 159 class, I feel like, okay, been there, done that. But if you're not in that class, then it's not been there, done that. So, let's see, I want to be in the F drive in VB Chapter 6, VB Functions. Okay, every language is going to come with a bunch of instructions, a bunch of functions. And it's a lovely thing, speaking as somebody who started programming before, that was a true statement. Come on, you can do this. Okay, so I've basically got two fields that I'm going to put in. And I have one area that I'm outputting, and it's a list output. So I'm doing list outputs to all of those. Okay. On load, if you look down, I say a message box. So if I run this, it says be sure to enter data in the two text boxes. The second one should have an embedded ampersand. Okay? So that's what it's telling you to do when you run this. Just because in some of these, I am going to look for an embedded ampersand. Okay? So Susan Ash and ABC ampersand CDE or something like that. Okay, so that's what I've put in the two. And so now these are going to work with functions depending on what I do. So if I click on convert, it converts, and that's the function up here. So I said UCase, which is a conversion to uppercase, LCase, which is a conversion to lowercase. Okay, so it's just doing the conversions. Every language that I know of has a way to convert case. It's just you got to look it up and find out what it is. In some languages, it's the word upper. In some languages, it's whatever. This is UCase. Okay, so I'm saying in this output, this is a list box. I want to add, and then I said, okay, take first.text, convert it to uppercase, and that's what I want to add. Okay, so it's coming in there. Okay, then the next one is access, and that's the next one down. So here are the results of access. Okay, so the first one says I want to know the length of text first.text. And the length of that is 9. Then I said, okay, I want to go into the middle, and I want to start with the third character, and I want to display 4 characters. And it's displaying 4 because there's a space after the N, so it really is 4 characters. Okay? And then on the next one, I said start at the third character, but I didn't put any stop on it, so it goes through to the end. So I have S-A-N space and then A-S-H. On the next one, I said do the mid again, go into the seventh character and show me 5, and I saw world. Then on the next one, I said, okay, tell me where you put the ampersand. And this one is using textsecond.text. And so it's putting the ampersand there. Okay? It's in the fourth character. And then the substring is written differently. Notice that mid worked very much like substring. Substring is written differently where I say textfirst.text, and then I put substring in. And again, substring says go to the third character and take 4. And then if I go to the third character and I don't say how many to take, then it takes till the end. So those are some ways that I can get something. I think it is marginally, because it's one instruction at a time.
In SQL, was a pain?
No, right. In SQL, the problem is you have to put everything into one select statement. But in this, I can break it down into parts. Yeah.
What does the INSTR stand for?
In the string. So that means in the string, find... Okay. So in the string, what string? Text second dot text. What do I find something? What do I want to find? The ampersand. And it tells me where the ampersand is. Okay. Then we have the next group, which is more. And with more, I said, okay, do a string reverse. Okay, so when I do the reverse, Susan Ash becomes whatever she becomes. Okay, so I did a reverse on her. And then I did put out textfirst.text, concatenated with 5 spaces, concatenated with textsecond.text. And that works. And then I said, okay, now this one is left and right. Are apparently, they can't use them anymore as straight functions. And they used to be straight functions, like mid. But the problem is left and right have other meanings now. So if you want to use them, you still can, but you have to write Microsoft.VisualBasic.left, Microsoft.VisualBasic.right. So that's enough to talk most people out of using them. But if you want to use them, that's what you got to write.
Okay.
So this is text first, text for 4. And so it is the leftmost 4 characters. And then the leftmost 5 characters of Hello World. And then the rightmost characters of 4 is space. Notice there is a space there. And then ASH. Okay. So those are those. And then the last one is a bunch of functions. And the first one says... Okay, so replace the ampersand with a percent sign. Okay, so I'm going in and replacing one thing with another. And that's a that's a useful thing to know how to do, to go in and replace something. So I did a replace. The next thing, I dimmed the alphabet as a string. And then I said replace... in the alphabet, T-U-V with XXX. And it did. So T-U-V has now been replaced with XXX. And then on the bottom one, I said, okay, mid-alphabet, go to 20 for 3 characters and make it ZZZ. So it went to 20 for 3 characters. You see the ZZZ. And then after I did that mid thing to alphabet, then I said, okay, now write it out. Obviously, I could have put the mid inside the and the way I did up there, but this time I just said, do it, now show it to me. And that works too. So those are some of the functions that are available, and these are the functions that come with the package. Okay, you don't have to write them, you don't have to do anything, you can just use them. And essentially, those kinds of functions come with pretty much every language, so that you can do these standard things. So it's a matter of going and looking them up if you don't know what they are. And guess what your homework assignment is?
To create our own function?
Huh? Is to flip the name.
Flip the name.
I do that in every single class so that you will have done it in a variety of languages, hopefully.
I gotta talk to you. Sit down and make a joke. So, if I'm have Joe / John M.
The nightmare's a bag.
Okay. I want to flip this so I have John M. Doe. And there's a lot of use for this kind of thing. I mean, a lot of people store last name, first name separate, and then they just have to concatenate. But if you want to store the whole name and be able to sort on it alphabetically, you want the last name first. And so last name, and it might be comma instead of the slash. Last name, comma, first name, middle initial is lots of times the way you want to store it. But if I want to put out the name in a different form, I've got to flip it. Okay, I mean, let's just say I wanted to print out mailing labels for something. I want to not address it to Doe / John M. I want to address it to John M. Doe. Okay, so the key thing here is I have a slash. And the slash can be found using what?
InString.
The slash can be found using InString. And this is plus one. So if the location, if I find out using InString what the location of that slash is, then the first character of the first name is the location of the slash plus one. Right? So if I know the location of the slash, this is plus one. So then I can go in and say, okay, now bring out, extract the name, first name, middle initial. And what character do I want to start at? I want to start at the location of the slash plus one. So I want to start at the location of the slash plus one and go to the end of the field. To get the last name, what character do I start at? The first character, or the zeroth character, depending on how things, what you're doing. Well, you're starting as the first character, but then how many characters do you take? How do you figure out how many you take?
How many characters up to the slash?
Huh?
How many characters up to the slash?
Up to the slash, but up to minus one, because you don't want to show the slash. So the E is in the position minus one. Okay, so I want to go up into that position. I want to go through that. So I'm finding the slash in four. And what I want to do is say, okay, start with one and go up to the location of the slash minus one. So go up to three. But every name is going to be different, so I can't use hard numbers. I have to use the InString and that sort of thing. Every time I refer to the slash, I have to think of what's in InString. Now, when we talk about doing this in PHP, for those of you who are in both, as I told you, the biggest problem is the select. Has to have everything all in one. But when we do it in this, we can have a separate statement that we call LOC, for local, or I think that may be a reserved word, or whatever.
and whatever can be equal to the location of the slash. So whatever would be set equal to 4 if I use the in string to find the slash. And then whatever can be used when I need it. So start the extraction of the first name at whatever, plus 1. Extract the last name until whatever minus 3, minus 1. So I'm going to give you 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll go on to something else, to look at the homework assignment, and that's the first problem in the homework assignment. And forget the title part, you can add that. I just want you to do the flip.
After you've done the flip, I want you to have some radio buttons that say Mr., Ms., whatever, Doctor, whatever the buttons are. And so you would click on one of the buttons and add that in the front of the name. So you have Dr. John M. Doe. Okay. Mr. John M. Doe, Ms. John M. Doe, whatever. But those would be done with radio buttons. Don't worry about that now. What I want you to do now is write the flip. So what you want is an input box where you're going to enter it in. If you set up a form, you need an input box, an output box, and a button that says flip. And you're going to enter in Doe/John M, click the flip button, and it is hopefully going to return John M. Doe. Functions. I mean, the other nice thing about this is you can have one line that catches the first name, another line that does the last name, and then you can say, I want to concatenate these all together. First name plus the space plus the last name. So, again, it's a lot easier than it is in PHP when you're using the select. seems to be a lot of keen. Is it making sense? Not PHP, actually, I meant MySQL. PHP can do it fine. Is anybody making any progress? I'm getting bored. Are you doing the separate fields, or are you doing it all, trying to do it all in one? Mm-hmm.
All in one.
Good luck.
Put up to two fields.
You know, I would end up having a field that I put in there, the location of the slash. Then I'd have another field in memory where I would figure out what the first name is. So I would extract the first name plus middle. And then I would have a field like this where I'm going to put the last name. And then I concatenate them together. That's the easy way of doing it, I think. But if you want to do it all in one, that's fine.
Then it ends up being more the way you do it with a select statement in MySQL. Well, this would be the location of the slash. So I put the location of the slash here. Then I would use the location of the slash when I came to extract the first name. Because it's location of slash plus one that starts the first name. Okay, so the beginning of the first name is location of the slash plus one. And when you're doing the last name, the last character of the last name is location of the slash minus one. So, I mean, I would save the slash location. Otherwise, when you're doing this, you're going to be writing in the string parenthesis slash all the time, which is what you have to do when you're doing it in SQL. But when you're doing it in a programming language, you have the luxury of being able to divide it up into steps. Is anybody making any progress? Mm-hmm. remember that any of those where it says mid, for example, textvis.text, comma, 3, that comma 3 doesn't have to be a number. It can be a variable that contains 3. So I can use that as a variable name that contains 3, like location of my slash. So if I want to extract the first name, I can be using the location of the slash as where I want to start, plus 1. Or if you decide to use the substring, either one will work. Anybody got any questions? Because we're going to stop this in a couple of minutes. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to talk to yourself at home. And then if you have questions, you can come back on Thursday and ask them. Okay, let's wind it down. What did you do? Did anybody extract just the first name? You know, it seems to me that this one, or that one, would be good ways to extract the first name. Because you can then say first equals, and the thing is that this 3 would become a variable
plus 1. So you can say the first name, write first, or work first, or whatever you wanted to do, and then say equals, and then do the mid on it. And where do you want to start the mid? The variable plus 1, variable being the thing where you're storing the location of the slash. Okay, as I said, we're going to move on. So, I really suggest you try to find time to do this in the next couple of days, or you're going to forget how to do it, or you're going to forget what it is you're doing. On something like this, it's better. And again, if you have questions on Thursday, we can go over it. So if you really try to work on it tomorrow, then you can come back with questions on Thursday. And the next one we're going to look at is other kinds of functions. So go in and open first functions, because I would like to get through a few of them today. Okay, VB lets you write functions. It also lets you write procedures, which is the next thing we're going to look at. And you can just go in and type them in. Notice they don't have all the stuff on them that when you make a sub, they have. You know, the sub goes on and on forever with stuff. These I typed. And what I'm doing is saying function type pay as string, which means that the result of this function, the thing that I return, is going to be a string. Up here I have a function calpay as double. So that means I'm anticipating returning a numeric with decimal places. So I declare the type of thing I'm planning to return. Now what a function does is it goes in, it does its thing, and it returns something. That's what a function does. So we have two kinds of functions, the kind of built-in functions like mid, substring that we looked at in a few minutes ago, and we have functions that you can build for your programs. And the main time I would use a function really is if I have something that I want to do in 10 or 15 programs. Why not make it a function and just copy and paste it from my library of stuff? So if that middle function there was something I used a lot of times, I can just put it in here. Okay? So a function is something lots of times that you want to use multiple times, either in the program or in multiple programs. So what you say when you set up the function is, calpay is the name. I am going to receive information, the function, and I anticipate receiving work pay per hour and work hours. And work pay per hour is going to be single, and that's just smaller than double. And work hours is going to be single. So if you look up at the top, I said, okay, take in some input. And then when you take in the input, pass this input to the function. Whoops, wrong function. I'm looking at the calpay function, and it's doing that. So, notice I sent work pay per hour, and it's set up to receive work pay per hour, and work hours, and it's set up to receive work hours. So I'm saying, go do the function and take these two pieces of data with you. Now, in this example, I name the two pieces of data the same as when I send them and when I receive them, but that's not necessary. You do not have to name them the same, because what happens is the first one that you send, it expects to go into the first one in the receiving, and the second one you send goes into the second one of the receiving. So if you want to call them different names, you can call them different names. It does it by placement. The first one goes to the first, and the second one goes to the second. And then I said, okay, now figure out work pay. And so I figure out work pay by doing my calculation. First, I define a field called work pay. Then I do my calculation. And when I'm all done, I say, return work pay. So that means it goes back, and it goes into that spot. Okay, so what a function does is a function anticipates getting one thing back. Okay? So the return thing, the return answer, equals the function and the data that's being sent. So I always write it this way. The function name, the data that's being sent, when it comes back, assign the return. Okay? So I assign the return to the return. I assign it there.
So that's the thing that is returned. So when it says return work pay,
up here I said do the function and put its result in work pay. So it goes out, does the function, brings the result back, and puts it in work pay. So work pay now holds the result of the function.
And this is fairly standard for functions. You've taken C, works the same.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. Yeah. Minus all the C ins and C outs.
What?
All the C ins and C outs.
Whatever. But basically, the function sends the data. Mm-hmm. The function acts on the data, and then it returns one thing. And that's pretty much the way the function world works.
The only difference, usually, the functions are external.
Yes, these could be external, too.
Yeah, you can do them either way. Okay. Let's see. But
yep.
Like, this is a document, just functions. Okay. Put back into the
In the library, basically. Yeah.
Okay, so that's how the function works. And it's always done that way. That the thing that's returned, and then the equal sign, then the name of the function, and the data that I'm sending to the function. So on the second function, I said, work message is going to equal type pay. So I'm going to go do that function. And I'm sending work hours. And it's receiving work hours as single, and it is doing
a calculation and saying if it's greater than 40, then they worked overtime. If not, they did not work overtime, and it's returning that message. Okay? So the point I want to make is if we run this, and then we'll look at something else. If we run this, hello? Thank you. Okay. So if I click Use Function, which is the button that I have there, it comes in and says enter the pay per hour. Okay, so 50 is my pay per hour. Hours worked is 40. Okay? So those are my two input boxes there.
So right now, I'm on the second input box. Immediately, I'm going to do one function and then the other function, and then I'm going to write out a line.
Okay? So it's going to go and do the first function, and it is coming back, it has returned work pay as 2,000.
Okay, because it wasn't a work 40 hours, it was just 50 times 40. And it returned work pay as 2,000. And then it went down and looked at the hours, and if the hours are greater than 40, it said worked overtime, otherwise it said did not work overtime. When I came back here, I concatenated together the employee and then the message, which was did not work overtime, and then the literal, so pay is, and then concatenated that with the pay.
And so that's how it printed that out. So that's a combination of literals and the things that got returned from the function. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if I come in here, for example, and I change this, I'm going to put two A's in here, which means I got to put two A's every place. But notice now it is returning work pay. But that will still go into work pay. So if I run this, it still works fine. I'm going to put in 40 and 40, and it comes back with the 1600.
So, as I said, it doesn't need the same name. And we'll go up and change the names on the things that are being passed, too.
So if I go back up here, and I call this, put a 1 after each of these. And so that is going to need a 1, a 1, a 1, a 1, too many of them. I think I've got it now. Okay, so if I run this, I put in 60 and 40 is 2,400.
So, as I said, I sent work pay per hour, but it can receive it just fine as work pay per hour one. It could receive it as apples and oranges. It can receive it as anything it wants.
So again, there are some people that are absolutely fanatic about the fact that within a function they do not want to use the same names as externally. There's others that say they want to use the same names so they can keep track of things. It's a decision that you have to make. I don't know why I hit that. Okay. And that crashed because I didn't enter anything. Okay, so that's how a function works.
And when I want to create a function, I just start typing down here. Function, give it a name, da-da-da-da, and just go forward
and write in the functions. So it's not a big problem. Now we're going to look at procedures. And in procedures, we're going to look at the problem of by value and by reference. So open the procedures one. Okay. So,
I have done this two different ways. By reference, by reference, by reference. By value, by value. Yes. I think I covered them all.
I found a mistake in one of them. where I didn't illustrate it right, but I think I've got them all there now. Okay. So, I'm starting out, and we will do the first one. Okay? So the first one is actually greet. I forgot that was the first one. Okay, so that's just greet. So what I have there is I have, when you click the button greet, it will do the procedure name to greet. Okay? And so now I got to find the procedure, there it is, name to greet. So I set this up and said, here's a public subroutine to greet. Okay, we'll get into public and private later, but for now I just made it a public sub to greet because I want to talk about by reference and by value and I don't have a lot of time, so we're going to do that now. Dim work date is a date, and then I took in the date, so I took in now, which gets me today's date. Now that's another standard function, it gets me today's date. And then I said, okay, now write hello and concatenate that with the date. So hello, it is 3-1, and it's 1:29 p.m. So that's the first one. Okay. Now the second one is kind of interesting. Okay, I'm going to click on total. And it says, enter the amount of the check, $123. And I'm done. Now I'm going to click on total again, enter the amount of the check, $123. Oh, no, let's go with $200. And now it has added. It is $323. Okay? And then I click on it again, and I'm going to put 500 in, so it is now 823. Okay, so the total got kept accumulating, right? Okay, so now I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to do what it says to do. Comment out the static and use the line below. So I'm uncommenting that. Okay, so that's two ways that I could have done it. I have now commented out the static and I've put back in the div. Okay? So when I do the dim, I say total, and I put in 123, and it says okay. And then I click on total again, and I put in 200, and it comes up with 200. And then I click on total again, and I put in 500, and it tells me 500.
That's good.
Huh?
That's 50.
Right. So what's happening there is when I use the dim, every time I enter the procedure, it resets. Okay, when I use the static, when I go back into the procedure, it keeps the total that's left over from the last time I ran it. It keeps track of the total throughout the program. So that's kind of neat. And so this one did not accumulate totals. This one simply put out what I put in. Okay. So now looking at number three, the third thing, pass by reference. So I'm going to click on that, enter the amount of the transaction, 100. Enter the percent you're using, 0.25. Okay? So there are two ways of entering and passing data, by reference and by value. And this particular one, which one did I do? It was passed by reference. So passed by reference is right there. Passed by reference. So I am setting up a field called work amount, work percent, work message, and I took in work amount and work percentage. Now I'm saying don't do the procedure. Now notice the difference. When I went and did the function, I assigned it to a field that was going to get the answer. A procedure is not necessarily sending back an answer. A procedure is I just want to do the procedure. Okay? So the procedure, I just say, go do the procedure. Send it work amount and work percent. So I'm going and doing the procedure call calc by reference.
Okay. So right now I've taken in the two numbers. I'm going to go do calc by reference. And here it is. I'm receiving the two things that I'm sending, work amount and sent. This time I called it sent amount, and sent PR. So I did change the names.
I could have used the same names. So I'm sending those two names. It says, okay, sent amount equals sent amount times sent per. So I'm taking that 100, multiplying it by 0.25, and what does that give me? 25, right? If I take 100 and multiply it by 0.25, it gives me 25. So inside here, I am then saying the result from calc by reference is 25. And I purposely wanted to write out where it was so you could see it.
So there's, I did the calculation, sent amount is 25, and I'm now writing it out. The result from calc by reference is 25. The procedure's done, so I return to the line below the procedure.
And in the line below the procedure, I set up a message, and then I write it on the next line. So I say, back in, button pass by reference, and the work amount is 25. Okay? Now I say, okay, now go and do other calc by reference. And send down work amount and work PR.
But at this point, work amount is 25, so it's sending down 25, and when I do the calculation of 625 times 25, 25 times 0.25, I get 625. Okay?
Yes, no, maybe? 25 times 0.25 is 625, right? With a little decimal point thrown in there. And it then displays the 625, and then when I go back, it displays the 625 again.
And if I did it again, it would take 25% of 625, whichever that's going to turn out to be, and it would show that.
When I pass by value and I put in exactly the same numbers, then I get
the result from the calculation is 25, so that was fine. Okay, I'm doing it by value. And it went, and it said the result of this is 25. Then when it came back, it said, no, work amount is 100.
Work amount hadn't changed. Work amount is 100. And then it went and did another routine, and it came back with 25 in the routine, but when it came back, work amount was 100 again. So when I pass by reference, it is referencing where I have it stored, and that number keeps changing. When I reference by value, I send the value to it. And so the value was 100, and then when I did it again, the value was still 100. It didn't change the value. Okay, so by reference will change the value because I'm referencing a field. So I'm saying go back to that field and get what's in that field. But by value, I'm passing the original number. And we will look at that a little more because I want to go through it a second time on Thursday, just because I know that this is a problematic thing. You might also look in your book because they have an explanation of by value and by reference in there. Okay? And even if you don't use the whole book, you should be looking at it. But I can get it to handle the data differently by setting by value and by reference. Okay? So this one started out with 100, changed to 25, changed to 625. If I did it again, it would be down even more. This one started at 100. The calculation was 25, but when I came back, it was still 100. When I did the calculation again, I got 25, but when I came back, it was still 100. So it kept the original value. And there are times you want to do that, and there are times you want to change the original value. And this by val and by reference give you that option. Okay? So we will look at this again because I think it's worth revisiting. And so we will do that again on Thursday and revisit the slash as well. Okay? Questions?
Do you have an email about